Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Thursday, September 21st, 2017. We have about 11 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, gusting to 15 later on. Wind waves from the southwest 1 foot high at 4 seconds apart, and west swell 7 feet high at 10 seconds apart. And I'd like to talk about this just to, for people perhaps who are new listeners. There are always two, at least, and actually more, but at least two major effects on the sea state out there, what's happening on the waves on the surface of the water. One of them are the local wind waves. Whatever the local wind blowing up and down the coast, usually, well, sometimes we do have wind from the east, but often the wind is coming from some permutation of west, northwest, southwest, or just plain old west. Those are local conditions caused by the local weather we're happening here. And then we have the swells, the ocean swells, and they're called swells, not waves, because they're coming from further out to sea, sometimes from weather that is happening on the other side of the Pacific. So we can sometimes, there can be a storm off Japan that will send us weather here. So sometimes, that's why, sometimes on a beautiful, sunny, warm day, calm day here, relatively speaking, there can be some pretty big waves out there because those waves have traveled all the way across the Pacific. So you'll hear that in the marine weather forecast, me describing wind waves and swells as two separate things because they are. And sometimes when they're coming in different directions, say perpendicular or even opposite one another, it can create a condition called confused seas out there, which is a meteorological term to describe the sea state being kind of sloppy like inside a washing machine. Let's see. We have a chance of showers early in this morning and then a chance of showers in the afternoon. So we're going to have that threat of rain in the forecast over the next few days. And today we're going to talk about tomorrow's autumnal equinox. You know, we always say, well, it's the first day of fall, blah, blah. But what's really happening out there in the universe? We'll talk a little bit about that. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 3 inbounders. We have 2 in the Astoria anchorage. And we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the tug Seaspan Raider. She's arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the port of Astoria, and she'll be there around 11:30 a.m. Now, sometimes tugs come into the river to get fuel. In Astoria. This is a Canadian tug, so she's got to go through customs, and that must be what she's going to be doing at the port of Astoria. But what she may have done, and sometimes this happens, is that a Canadian flag tug will come down from up north, towing a barge with usually lime on board, and they'll hand that barge off to a U.S. flag tug in the waters off Hammond and Warrenton. And then that Canadian tug, so then the U.S. flag tug will take it upriver to wherever it's going. And the Canadian flag tug will go to the port of Astoria, go through customs, maybe get some fuel, and then pick up a barge that's waiting for it off of the Astoria downtown waterfront. So if you see a barge anchored without a tug with it up there, that could be what's happening. And then the tug will eventually, the Canadian flag tug will pick up that barge and take it out to sea, take it to a destination somewhere else. So that's part of the whole the issue of tug and barge traffic on the river. There's a lot of tug and barge traffic going on. The stuff that appears on the schedules that I see are the ones that take pilots on board, but there's a lot of boat tug and barge traffic on the river. Next inbound is the Hermes Leader. She's arriving from Vancouver, BC, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She's a car carrier with Subarus on board. Subarus go to Vancouver, Toyotas and Hyundais go to the port of Portland. She'll pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by 7:30 p.m. And those car carriers are very characteristic. You can see them. You can tell them by their high sides. They look very blocky and different from the regular old ships that we're used to, the bulk carriers and such. Then we have the Nilos arriving from South Korea, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll arrive in Astoria around 4:30 p.m., and you'll know her probably at a glance because she'll have an anchor hanging from her bow, and she'll be slowing way down when she comes under the Astoria Megler Bridge. In the Astoria anchorage, she will be joining the Sari Inda and the Fang Li Hai. They are awaiting orders there as well, all of them sitting very high in the water because they're waiting to pick up cargo, which will cause them to hunker down a bit and be more stable at sea when they go back out into the ocean. In our outbounders, the Agia Skepi is leaving Portland from the Port of Portland with soda ash on board. It's used to make automotive glass, one of its most prevalent uses. Leaving around 12 a.m., passing Astoria outbound, maybe around, well, she may have already gone by around 6 a.m. this morning. The articulated tug and barge, the Pride, is leaving Portland with refined petroleum on board, leaving around 3:30 a.m. You might see her pass Astoria around 9:30 a.m. The Angelic Zephyr is heading out of Vancouver, could be copper concentrate on board there, leaving around 10 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 4 p.m. The Ken Kahn is leaving Portland with wheat on board. She's a bulk carrier, leaving around 11 a.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5 p.m. The Forest Trader, leaving Longview with logs on board. You can maybe, her name gives her away a little bit as far as her cargo. Departing around 2 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 5:30 p.m. And the Calliope L is leaving Longview with logs on board around 8 p.m., passing Astoria outbound around 11:30 this evening. Well, tomorrow is the September equinox or equinox. Let's talk a little bit about that. What does that mean? Well, it's the first day of autumn, first day of astronomical autumn. Meteorological autumn happened at the beginning of September. So there's kind of two different autumns in play here. But for the sake of what most of us understand, the first day of autumn is going to be Friday. So what is the equinox? Well, there are two equinoxes every year. This is the September one, one in September and one in March, when the sun shines directly on the equator of the Earth and the length of day and night are nearly equal. So that's basically what equinox, equal night, is what that means. So a little bit about the northern and southern hemispheres during an equinox. Seasons are opposite on either side of the equator. The equator is that imaginary line around the widest part of the Earth. So the equinox in September is also known as the autumnal fall equinox in the northern hemisphere and is considered the first day of fall. But in the southern hemisphere, it's known as the vernal or spring equinox, and it marks the first day of spring. So in Australia, spring is starting, whereas in our here in the northern hemisphere, fall is beginning. The September equinox will happen in Oregon tomorrow at 1:02 p.m. Pacific time. So interesting. There's an exact time. And so the September equinox occurs the moment the sun crosses the celestial equator, the imaginary line in the sky above the Earth's equator, when the sun crosses that from north to south. And this happens around this time every year. Now, the Earth orbits the sun at a slant. Earth's axis is tilted at an angle of about 23.4 degrees in relation to the ecliptic, which is that imaginary plane created by Earth's path around the sun. On any other day of the year, either in the southern hemisphere or the northern hemisphere, the tilts a little toward the sun, but on the two equinoxes, the tilt of the Earth's axis is perpendicular to the sun's rays, and that's why the days are approximately equal and the nights are approximately equal. So on the equinox, the day and night are nearly the same length, about 12 hours all over the world, and that's the reason it's called equinox. However, even if this is widely accepted, it isn't really quite true. We don't have exactly 12 hours of daylight in any given place. And so there's a lot of folklore, of course, has developed around the idea of the equinox. And here's one. A famous ancient equinox celebration was the Mayan sacrificial ritual by the main pyramid in Mexico. The pyramid, known as El Castillo, has four staircases running from the top to the bottom of the pyramid's faces, notorious for human sacrifices that used to take place there. The stairs are built at a carefully calculated angle, which makes it look like an enormous snake of sunlight slithers down the stairs on the day of the equinox. Wow. And it's called the snake of sunlight. So there you go. Something interesting about this special day that happens every year that's happening tomorrow. So tomorrow I'll be able to say welcome to astronomical autumn. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.